Hey, everybody. What's going on? Eric Schultek here with Level 3 Studios podcast. And today's an awesome day because I have a really good friend of mine I've known for a long time and just such a huge, accomplished drummer in multiple styles, Mr. George Kolias. George, how are you, buddy?
How's it going, man? Good to hear from you. Great
always.
To finally be able to chat a little bit because we were both busy, so it's been a while, right?
It has been a while, and you're just getting back from a massive clinic run, and you're also in Athens, Greece, so you're about 8 hours ahead of us. So we know it's we know it's later for you over there, but busy man. How many countries did you go to on this last clinic run?
Enough, but we're not finished. Actually, it's
still going.
We're kind of in the middle, and I have Czech Republic next week, and then I have Hungary, Slovakia, and possibly Spain, which I would love to go, but this is not confirmed yet. And I'm talking about the Italian clinic tour for early next year, just because we need to promote it, you know, so we can't really go for it today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a one-off for now in Italy. I don't know the place yet. I got a great friend of mine who's working on it, so we will see. But I think there are way, way more clinics to come because, you know, me and Niall right now, we are in, the writing process. So let's say I have plenty of home time. So, I will do some more.
Well, most of you, probably all of you know George's work. And I was actually looking through some old emails, man, because I was trying to figure out how long I've actually known you. And because it goes back to the Blastology days with Kenny Lee.
Yeah, and that's...
I realized, dude, I've known you 12 years.
12 years, yeah. I was pretty sure, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, the first in-person lesson I ever had with you was in 07. So,
yeah.
I mean, so we've known each other a while, and you've... One of the things that kind of inspired me in this podcast about giving information is you were always so willing to email back any sort of questions anybody had. Once you kind of knew they were serious, you know, like, God, I was looking at some old emails and they were just lengthy. And it's like, you didn't have to do all that, but it was so helpful. It was so cool.
I'm really happy to hear that because, to be honest, lately, I don't really have enough time, you know, to reply some, email from various drummers.
Sure.
But, I'm doing more events. That's the reason. So, you know, everybody's welcome, you know, to come to my clinic, for example, and hang out and talk drums. I'm always open for that. But time home, you know, now with my kid as well, it's getting very limited. More stuff to do about the band, and it's been more difficult with emails. But I remember, those days. Yeah, I love talking drums, man.
I know you do. it's very inspiring every time I talk with you. And so you've been in Nile for over 10 years, probably 12,
13. 15,
yeah.
13 years, yeah.
13, that's incredible. And aside from that, you're also a clinician, but, you know, you were in quite a few bands before Nile, and then a couple years ago, you released your own solo record, Invictus.
Mm-hmm.
And George is a killer guitar player, too, and vocalist. He did everything on it.
Nah.
I love it.
I'm a killer. I'm a very generic guitar player, I would say. Maybe, I'm able to write my own music, and that's enough for me. So, but nothing special for sure.
Are you still teaching at the music school?
I don't really. First, let me say I belong to two schools. One is in Germany. It's called the Modern Music School.
Okay.
And the other one is the Lab Music Education, which is in Athens, Greece. And both of these schools have a lot of other schools under the same name. So it's like a brand, you know?
Oh, sure.
And
Modern Music School.
I did many clinic tours in Germany for Modern Music School, but I was doing private lessons only in Lab Music Education, which actually used to call Modern Music School back in the day, you know, the Greek part.
Yeah.
Now they call Lab Music Education. Great friends of mine for many, many years. And I spend a lot of time there doing private lessons, but to be honest, I don't really have time, you know, for the schools anymore because I have to go at the center or, you know, travel and, you know, lose like a couple or more days from my time. So I don't really have time for that. But I do the professional program in both schools. They have, let's say, like a special course, which is which lasts about, it depends actually, it's about a year and a half or 2 years. And it's more special because they do, they take lessons from different genre teachers. You know, so if you want to do, when you do funk music, for example, there is one of the best funk players, or rock music, one of the best rock players. So,
oh, that's great.
I think it's a really, really killer idea, and I support this, and I try to do my part to go teach a professional program, but just that, you know, I don't have time for private lessons anymore.
Yeah, your time is limited.
Yeah.
For sure. And then, and of course, I was studying you with you too online with your online lessons at georgecolius.com. Is that still something going on, or is that still in the works, or just don't have enough time for that, or I don't even know?
This is actually something I'm doing for about 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we are on lesson 96 right now.
Wow.
And to be honest, this is the time that the lessons are getting massive. Like, the upgrade is ridiculous. Like, I can't tell you how much excited I am for the lessons, to be honest, because I just, you know, we were saying earlier on emails, I just finished my new personal studio, my new drum room, which is under my house. So
oh, it
I,
looks
I
sick.
Have so much, yeah, I got so much more time to spend now. It's, man, I get the elevator and I'm in the studio. It's insane. It's a dream I had since I was 10 or something, you know? So.
Well, hats off. Congratulations for that. That was a lot of hard work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it took some time, but finally I did it. But anyways, the thing here is the drum room is much bigger than my old room, which I used to rent for 8 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two drum sets. So I got my Fusion drum set, which I spend more time, and I got the big drum set, which, you know, I practice my music with Niall and composing new material for now.
Yep.
So, you know, I am way more flexible with the lessons, so I can teach different things, but on the right kit. So I think it's going to be a big step up. The lighting is more professional. The sound is, oh my God, it's killer, man. This room sounds so great.
That's so important, you know. It's like,
exactly.
Having a good sounding room is just so key.
Exactly. So, yeah, like I said, they're going to be stepping up big time. These will be the best lessons from now on. And like always, we're covering from samba to jazz to extreme death metal, double bass, pretty much everything.
Yes, and that's something I have to get back involved with you on. Where can people find more information and maybe prices and packages for the lessons that are coming up?
It's on my website. It's called the online lessons with me. And you click there, and there is it's actually an area which is close to everybody. So you have to be a member to get in and download each month's lesson. But there is another open thread that you can go and open and read all the details. It's a very simple process. You pay about $65 US dollars, which is 60 euros. And you started with me for a whole year. So you get a package for a whole year. Now, the money, of course, is nothing. You know, it's...
For a whole year? That's it for a whole year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, $65. And they get one lesson every month. But yeah, that lesson is enough to spend the whole month practicing this concept, for example.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's part one, part two. It depends on how serious and how long the explanation will be. But, yeah, money-wise, this is something, you know, of course, I don't really make anything.
No,
but
I know.
The main idea,
that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's only for the kids, to be honest. Only for my all my friends around the world who want to study with me and they don't have this opportunity. But I can't really do it for free also. So I had to balance it somewhere that everybody can do it. And, you know, of course, like I said, I spend a lot of time editing videos because it's actually pretty much better than my DVD right now, my latest DVD. So the quality is amazing, the PDFs, and we have lessons overviews and sometimes click tracks and some, you know, it's plenty of things.
That's so it's an incredible resource. Number one, think about it. It's like if you go for a private lesson somewhere, you know, you could spend $35 or $40 an hour with a one-on-one teacher, U.S. dollars, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we're talking about, you know, 60 60, 65 bucks for 12 lessons. And look, this is stuff, yes. I've been a part of this before. This is stuff that's covering all sorts of different styles. So, I mean, all music, man. So don't look at it like it's, you know, George has got chops in all sorts of genres, and he's definitely taught me how to swing and groove and play all sorts of different stuff. But he's very passionate about teaching, obviously, because number one, he was doing it from the very beginning. He had a couple books come out. He's written, you know, the Odyssey for Double Bass Drumming, obviously the DVD he was mentioning. He has two of them, Intense Metal Drumming 1 and 2. I mean, and then obviously everything that's you could find on YouTube. But what a deal.
The deal. Well, yeah, it's cheap, and that's the main thing. I do it for two reasons. The one reason is that I give everybody the opportunity to start it with me, get in touch with me, get something out of it, and get their, you know, their brain a little bit more, you know, open to other styles of music too. Because if you want to be a good drummer, you gotta play drums. Not necessarily death metal drums. You have to be open to any style. There is a lot of information, a lot of great, great influences, you know, on every style. So that's one thing. I want to get in touch with different people and from different countries, which is really important, and make it easy for them. Now, the other reason, even though, okay, the payment for me is bullshit.
Yeah.
let me say it like straight.
Yeah.
I don't really make money from these, but... like I said, number one, I will sit down and practice some of the stuff I want to show, number one. Number two, I have to spend a lot of time writing like music sheets and, you know, spend a lot of time editing videos, which is a great practice also for me for my next DVD. And so it serves a lot of different purposes, you know, for me.
It's a lot of time. Editing even episodes like this and stuff. It's a lot of time. I mean, the prep to write the lesson sheets, filming all the videos, editing the videos and the audio. I mean, that's a lot of work.
Well, the thing is, if I didn't have these lessons for the past 8 years or so, then I will spend a lot of time. Now I work so fast with editing. It's insane. Like, you know, I know what to show from the cameras. I know how to work with the cameras. I know how to, you know, work with lights and everything. So, okay, it's not like a... The super HD quality. Actually, it is HD. I'm saying like it's not Hollywood production, but
it's pretty damn good, man.
It's better than my DVD. That's all I have to say.
And the DVD was good quality, so
yeah, the second one was really, really good. Yeah,
and the amount of, I mean, look, you could have probably had half the amount of material in that DVD and still sold it for the same price. I mean, it's you always put so much good information out there. It's just obviously you love to share and teach and help.
Something. You know what, man? I'm very happy to hear some people notice that. It's really, really important because I think I did a lot for the scene.
Sure.
And having a DVD out is one thing. It can be for money. It can be to help drummers. But 5 hours and a half compared to another DVD, which is 1 hour and a half, it's day and night.
Oh, absolutely.
And not many people actually see the difference. But so... like I said, I'm happy some will notice that. So thank you.
Well, you've always been a guy that's a hard worker, never one to sit still. So everything, we kind of expect everything you put out to be really quality. But that's awesome. We'll put a link in to the website and to the lessons things. The link into this episode so people can click on it right away. And
for me, it's really, really easy. Number one, to get in touch with me. And to find all my lessons and everything, because we got a very updated website, which is georgecollins.com. And everything is there. Even my email is there. I never hide from anybody. So, you know, whatever you have to say, that's it, you know. Sometimes in the past, people, like you said before, used to email me and ask them for drum tips, and I would reply pages and paragraphs, you know.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I have... more limited time. I still try my best, but I think the best thing will be for people to join the lessons, just, you know, to see what's up for a year, and then, you know, you decide.
Well, I think the lessons are so in depth too that a lot of the questions that may come up, you answer them in the lesson. You know, it could be multiple camera angles, or I don't know. I think you've always done a pretty good job of that, and But I think you have done a lot for the scene, and you know, letting the community know. I mean, you, look, you've been in Drum Magazine and Modern Drummer so many times, and it's good to for other genres to see a drummer like you in a death metal band that is well rounded and plays all sorts of different styles. That helps the scene.
That's the only way to let's say to get on the top of the scene with some other drummers and be able to do what you really like to do. Because for me, doing what I do with Nile is my whole life. I love it. But be able to do some clinics next to Simon Phillips and Dave Weckl, and I mean, dude, this is another thing.
Wow.
You know, some drum festivals or some really, really small clinics with 50 people that we, you know, I sit down and I get questions and they ask whatever they want and I try to educate them. And then we have a signing session or, you know, whatever. And they come to me and be like, thank you so much. And I got inspired. And this is actually the best feeling, to be honest. And I'm not saying it to inspire people or to play the good guy. This is the best, man. This is, it's like when you meet people that really love your music and they're like, can we have a picture? Because he really likes, or she really likes what you do and really enjoys your band. It will never get old for me. It will never get old. I love this feeling. You know? I love meeting fans and, you know, talk drums or music. So it's an appreciation for the fans, but I like it. So it's different. You know?
Well, it seems like it was a great
job.
Yeah. Seems like when you, as soon as you got involved with Pearl Drums, it was really, really a good relationship, especially you having to go international so many places to be able to have them take care of you for these clinics. That's got to be awesome.
Yeah. I used to do clinics even before I get officially with Pearl, but being with Pearl, the thing exploded. And the reason is one, I'm a Pearl junkie and I play Pearl drums for pretty much all my life. I've been to another Greek company for 3 years just because my teacher asked me, he was like, you can go to this guy and get some Greek drums out so people just can see them and learn about these drums.
Sure.
Which I did, but even Gabriel, you know, the owner of Gabriel Drums, he knew I'm a Pearl guy. So when we got the official offer to go in Pearl, I told him and he was totally fine, of course. But, yeah, the company has one of their many drummers. But, like I said, I'm a Pearl drums junkie. I love Pearl. So, couldn't go wrong, man. I knew this was going to go great.
Didn't I hear from Dallas or something you had gotten, like, a new kit recently to just have there all the time?
I got the new Masters Maple Complete, the MCT, which is killer drums, man, especially for stage and, you know, touring. And they're very actually affordable. So it's kind of like a new model from Pearl. 1 year and a half, I think. And they were like, you want to try this? I'm like, no, I want this. I'm like, I don't have to try. I know the Masters for ages.
Yeah.
The thing with these Masters is they mark the 25 years anniversary of Masters custom, you know?
Oh, really?
And so this is like a very, very special drum set. Yeah, very special drum set. It tunes so good and sounds so great. To be honest, I would say, especially for rock and metal, maybe it's a little bit closer. So maybe I like it a little bit more for these, you know, for the more hard rock stuff.
Yeah, their shells sound incredible, especially the floor toms. Oh.
Oh, dude, a lot of body and very warm. You know, it's maple drum, so amazing, amazing. I love this kid.
Your snare, and you've had a couple different kind of signature. I'm not sure exactly what you're using now for your main snare, but I know you play a side snare too for some of your blasting. But you've always had a unique George snare sound. Is there anything special that you do when you tune that baby up?
Yes, I tune that baby down. Well, the thing is, if you listen to the album Ithyphallic, my snare was very high-pitched and very ringy. You know, like, let me say, the typical death metal snare.
Sure, yeah.
Dude, every time I hear this album, I just, I want to kill myself and I want to get back and record it. I think it's a great album, but I think the snare drum is just kills me, man. It just kills me. Many people love this, but for me, like I said, it hits me to my heart, you know. So
I wish I could
change that. Now I tune much lower, which makes the whole playing thing a little bit more difficult. I mean, you don't get
the rebound.
That great, yeah, rebound or response from the snare. You have to push a little bit harder. If you play with a finger technique, which I don't, I play with wrist. Maybe it will make your job a little bit more harder, you know. But dude, the tone.
It sounds fatter.
Yes, I just love this type of snare drums, and I tune pretty much everything low.
Are you still playing that drums, that like 10-ply Nile custom one that they did for you, or are you playing something different?
Yeah, my Masterworks. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It depends. Right now, I'm actually looking at the kit on the big drums that have it's the Masterworks. So I play the Masterworks snare, which, like I said a few times, it's not my favorite snare when I jam. You know, when I play without headphones, for example, but when I record, dude, I'm like, what is this? Like, it's the best snare sound ever. So
awesome.
I pretty much do most of my recordings with this snare because, like I said, it just records so great. Now, on the Fusion kit, I have the Masters Premium Legend, which is a premium series which was never released in the States. I don't know the reason. Hmm. But they're thinner shells, kind of like the Reference Pure concept.
Yeah.
And, dude, they're awesome. It's just awesome snare, you know, especially for more funky jazz stuff.
That's the perfect sound for that style, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just love this. And actually, this snare, it's a red snare. And the Reference Pure kit, which I set up as a fusion kit when I don't do clinics and stuff here in Greece, it's the first Reference Pure and Premium Legend kits actually shipped to Europe, so yeah, I got to have a lot of history these days here.
Are you coming out to NAMM next year?
I'm gonna try. I think we're probably will do 70,000 tons of metal. So
oh, great!
If we do that, I will definitely join NAMM as well. But if not, I think the cost and the time is
not worth it.
You know, for me to fly from Greece just to come to NAMM, you know.
Well, were you guys in India or where were you?
Yes.
Yeah. You just did I heard a lot of good, I know Dallas isn't playing with you guys, but I heard a lot of good things about the lineup right now. Like the band sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're just, we're blessed, man. Like I would never believe, like, especially the guitar player thing. To find a guy like Brian Kingsland, he's a new member, and he's even bringing songs on the table now for the new album. And,
oh, you know, his great
composing abilities and the playing is just ridiculous. He's so good, such a great dude as well. We just
did you know him before?
So good. No, I never met him. I think Brad knew him. I think it was a friend or somebody that Brad used to know, and he was like, yeah, I know this guy, maybe he can do the job. So we gave him a couple songs and he just nailed every single note. So we're like, okay, that's the guy. And then we rehearsed together. We spent a lot of time to prepare him, but not prepare him because, you know, he didn't need anything extra, but just make him feel a little bit more comfortable and welcome with the band, you know. So
sure,
he's 100% one of us, 100%.
And Brad's been with you guys for a while longer, and Brad's a hell of a musician too.
Brad is also 100%. We're a team right now. We were never that close, and to be honest, had to do with the fact that Dallas actually left us, and it kind of shaked us a little bit. We're like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, you know, are we finished? What's happening?
Yeah, I'd be thinking that too.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the band for so many years, and that whole thing kind of woke us up, and we were like, okay, if we want to make this band going, we got to find somebody that cares as much as we do and get a little bit more close together. Like, I never remember the band as a band, like four members, hang out so much like we do now.
Oh,
other than the playing, which I think it's actually was never that good, to be honest. because we spend extra time, you know, to rehearse and practice as individuals. But, you know, we hang out a lot. We, you know, fuck around, like making jokes every time.
Yeah.
In India, since you said India, well, I think we delivered a killer show. And then we went to the hotel and we stayed up to like 6 o'clock in the morning or something, you know, in Brad's balcony, having some beers, laughing, you know.
Yeah.
And also we have a fifth member right now, which is Alexi, our sound guy and tour manager. When he has to do tour manager, the job of tour manager.
Yeah.
So Alexi, I think he's he made the band sound better than ever. He's, you know, he's got the skills to get the drums out there and balance everything so he can hear everything. I mean, I'm not saying like the previous sound guys we used to have, you know, were bad or something. It's just this guy maybe cares as much as we do. And
you got a great team.
Yeah, we got an amazing team, man. Amazing team. And the funny thing with Alexis is he's from Greece also. Actually, he lives 10 minutes away from me.
No way.
So, yeah, that's funny because we were not like good friends or even close friends when we you know, we never met often or something before he joins Nile. But now, you know, I have somebody to travel as well because I travel a little bit more than the rest of the guys now. So, yeah, it's been killer, man. The best team ever.
Alexi's been with you guys for a few years, right?
Yeah, I think like maybe 4 or something.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, I definitely, it's the guy I'm thinking of because I definitely met him last time you guys were through then.
Yeah.
But God, that's so good to hear. So you've already started kind of the pre-production and writing process for the next Nile record. That sounds incredible.
Yes, we got 3 complete songs and many, many ideas. Plus, Brian wrote maybe, let's say, a couple songs. Again, 1 song and some ideas. So we got a lot of stuff. I'm the one that was holding back a little bit because my studio wasn't ready.
Right.
And now it's ready, but I also had to do some clinics. I mean, I started the studio in June 1st, so I will never... never expect you to finish it in September 19th because that was the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a little bit pushed back. Yesterday I spent some time with one of the songs which is complete. In the morning I did some reviews and stuff, and planning to do another demo recording tomorrow.
Great.
So I think by the end of next week I'm gonna have the 3 songs down for sure. Yeah, like to present as demos.
Sure.
And man, I gotta tell you, the new material is fucking crazy, man. It's so crazy.
I don't doubt it.
I can tell you, it's gonna be the biggest step up you ever expected from Nile, like ever. It's gonna be so not necessarily different, but there is so much passion on every note we play in these new songs. So this is the deal for the new album. We want to raise the bar as high as possible. No compromising. No, like, oh, what if we did that? No. Everything has to be perfect. And finally, for me as well, I have, you know, a room to work a little bit more serious than the past years.
All right. It sounds interesting. I don't know how much more you can push the BPMs, but I know what you mean by the passion in the notes, because that definitely makes, you know, all the difference in the world. I'm really intrigued.
The thing is, you know, when you say, I want to raise the bar, people think, okay, we're going to go to 92 BPM. No, that's not the point.
Yeah.
We are a fast band. But if somebody thinks Nile is what they do, I mean, maybe he's deaf or something. Because, man, we're not only playing fast. I think we're one of the fastest bands, okay, of course. We love playing fast. We love speed. But we're also one of the most slow riff bands and epic parts and some groovy stuff and a lot of old time signatures. So there is a lot of progressive elements.
There is, yes.
A lot of doom elements, and of course a lot of extreme death metal elements.
Well, we were talking about Ithyphallic, yeah. And that's a perfect example of a album that has, you know, the extreme slower tempos, like the end of Ithyphallic. Yeah. And some of the fastest stuff, so very...
Yeah, even the newer albums, I think the last couple of albums, I think that that represents a little bit more what I just said, just because they're like I said, they have more elements. So yeah, but raising the bar, I mean, what else can it be? Well, as a drummer, for example, I can talk about some of the fields are like all over the place, like all over. There's a lot of cross fields and a lot of gospel ideas in a new Nile song, which also has some really fast blast beats and skanks and some weird time signatures and, you know, a lot of groove, a lot of epicness. But also, I want to change a little bit the, you know, the orchestration, you know, on the fields. I want to do fields when nobody expects and fields that nobody expects. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I know what you mean.
That's one of the new things. But yeah, it's gonna be crazy. I promise you, it's gonna be really crazy.
I believe you, brother. I believe you. Hey, that like the latest video you put out, your session work with Contrarian.
Contrarian, yeah.
Man, was that an awesome performance? And I think that's kind of like what you're talking about, though, because there's some different stuff I hadn't seen from you before in that one, even.
Contrarian is like. It's actually a good friend of mine from New York, which is half Greek, and I did also two more albums for them in the past. So this is actually the third.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yes, I'm
cool.
It's like a project. It's something Jim is doing for fun. Jim Tasikas, that's a guy I'm talking about. He's not like building the band to tour and stuff. Maybe he'll do a tour or something in OUC, but you know, it's more like a studio project, something that, you know, he just wanted to put his ideas and, you know, put them on a CD and release it, you know. And he's a great guitar player, great ideas. They remind me a lot of Death. So this is why I said yes in first place.
Awesome.
I was like, okay, that's stuff I really, really would like to play. So they're way different than Nile, not even close to Nile. You know, we're not, you know, cross paths or something, you know. So I have to play completely different things. And I also always play in a more progressive way, but to be honest, I think that song wasn't that difficult on drums. It was tasty.
It's tasty. It's a good song.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, and the quality of the video was good, and the audio was great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I was.
Some people were bitching about the effects.
Oh, whatever.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh man, I just tried to make it a little bit nicer, add some effects and. You know, people are like, "Oh, this is too much." I'm like, "Maybe it is too much. I don't know." But, anyways,
there's always going to be someone to find something to bitch about. Whatever.
yeah. But you know, it's sometimes it's a lesson. You see some stuff, some comments, and you're like, "Maybe next time I won't do this. We'll see." But like I said, I love their music and good friends of mine. So I'm pretty sure I will do their fourth album next year for sure.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And I also try to push it a little bit with them with some more tasty orchestrations, like the intro of Memory Eternal, that song.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the spirit for me.
Yeah, you guys just need to go on YouTube and hit up George's channel. I think it's GK Drummer. Look up something like that.
Yeah.
You'll see a bunch of different stuff, all the way from. And I was talking with a friend of mine the other day because he had just seen, you know, he's a professional musician as well, but he saw the Contrarian video and, you know, he's seen your earlier stuff, but then he also hadn't seen any of your jazz stuff that you had done.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually, he's like, you know, George, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, man, he really impressed me with, you know, I didn't know he could play all that other stuff too. Like he just went way up in my book, you know? So I don't know, just go to the YouTube page and check it out. It's I don't know. It's drums, man. All sorts of different styles, and that's what it's about. I mean,
you know, if you check my my SoundCloud or you know my the releases page on my website, I do a lot of session work, and I do session work when I'm free. So it's an extra opportunity to play different styles of music. So I do a lot of sessions, but never. Actually, maybe I did like a couple in the past 10 years or something. But I tried not to do stuff that sounds like Nile. So nothing really extreme death metal. And I do like from fusion stuff, progressive stuff, rock and roll, like whatever people ask me. Now I had an offer to do one song, but it's a pop song. I'm like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah,
I want to do these because I know it's helping me as a drummer anyways. And there are so many releases, but I think people don't actually go on the website and check out the albums you play or on the SoundCloud and, you know, hear some of the samples, because I also have a SoundCloud page that, you know, I upload some of the different sessions I do.
Yeah,
actually needs to be updated a little bit, but I will do very soon. And right there you can hear some other records I played, and man, I'm really, really proud to tell you that in most albums I don't even sound close to George, you know, and I'm really, really proud.
That's
to
great
be able to play different. Yeah, but people don't really bother with this stuff, and they think all you do is your solo album stuff, which is extreme, and the now stuff. And they're like, okay, he can play. Many people said that actually. Oh, he's a good drummer, but you know, it's boring to do the same thing. Well, if you get a Nile album, you're gonna get an extreme drummer playing on the album. Yeah, that's makes sense, right?
Yeah,
you can't really play like a samba feel, you know, on a Nile song. So what do you expect from me, you know?
Right.
So yeah, luckily I do a lot of sessions, and like I said, I have a lot of fun exploring new areas in drumming and studying other drummers before I get into a new style. So yeah, people just need to check it out a little bit more. But because they don't, I will make more videos nowadays and I will show them.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
you're doing all these
wins.
Doing all these clinics, like with some of these guys you grew up watching, and that's got to be amazing. Like, what are the things that maybe you've taken away from, you know, doing clinics alongside Simon Phillips, you said, and Weckl, and all these cats? It's
well, I'm very lucky to be able to talk with some of the real legends. I'm talking about, you know, really legendary drummers that I was always hearing people talking about, you know, when I was 12 years old or 10. So, yeah, I mean, Dennis Chambers, I had a great time. You know, finally I met him in a UK drum show this September. Simon Phillips, same thing. I was actually waiting for this for a whole lifetime to happen with Simon Phillips especially. Dave Weckl, you know, all these guys. And when I watch him perform, I just enjoy it. I don't think about technique. I don't think about anything. Like, seriously, I don't give a fuck about anything. Just enjoy. Just look, enjoy.
Enjoy,
like,
the moment.
Eat it. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's what I do with these guys. And when we have the chance to chat, I never talk drums because I'm afraid if I start talking about drums, I'm not going to stop.
So I'm like, I
don't want to bother, you know, guys like Dave Weckl, you know, with drum questions and stuff. So I really enjoy their company. They're super nice guys, man. Dave Weckl is one of my really close friends now. And we do a lot of racing together. He's a car racer. I'm a motorcycle racer. So we have some things in common as a hobby. Simon Phillips, too. He used to do Formula 4.
Really? I had no idea. Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's into it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we'll talk about a few things, but I'm a little bit nervous to start talking about drums.
You're obviously addicted to speed or something like that. Because you're also like a motorcycle racing instructor in some ways, aren't you?
I had the offer.
And, okay.
It's in the plans. But I don't really have so much free time. Maybe next year I'll do it. But I'm going very often to the riding school here in Athens. And these guys are my family now.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of training. But it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
Now, is it about speed? No, it's not about speed. Because when people hear about the super sport motorcycle, they'll be like, oh, you love going fast. No, I don't even ride actually outside in the streets. I don't ride anymore outside. But in the track is, you know, you go for the perfection. And that's the similar thing with drumming. So it's not about, of course, you have to go fast to make a good lap time. But it's about the perfection. Turn one, turn two, turn three, body position, like everything, where you're going to look, you know. all this stuff. There are so many things going through your mind while you're writing. There's a lot of exercising. You know, you get a lot of sweat. There's a lot of pushing. Adrenaline hits the red. You know, it's really, really extreme. But it's more about the perfection than going fast. So, and that's a similar thing with drumming and racing. And, you know, Dave Weckl has the same thing, and Simon Phillips for sure as well. This is why they're so precise, man. They're so precise. Dave Weckl was studying the track we were about to race in Athens, Greece with go-karts. But not the go-karts you know. The go-karts are two-strokes. They're really, really powerful.
Yeah, right.
And when he arrived there, he knew everything. Every corner, every, you know, he knew. He studied so well.
Wow.
And I even told him, I was like, dude, this is why you're who you are. You're such a perfectionist. And he almost kicked our asses. And we were doing this track for like 4 years. it will be very embarrassing. But this is who he is, man. If he does something, you know, gets involved with something, he wants to perfect it, you know, to get it on the next level. And that shows. He's, I think it's similar to every drummer. So, yeah, we're different kinds of human beings, you know?
It's a long-term, like, 10-year goal, but as long as every single time you're moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
It never comes, yeah, of course. Never comes quick. What I think you showed me a picture of your new bike not too long ago. Are you still riding the same one?
I got two. I got a Super Sport and a Super Moto. So I would say the Super Sport is the newer thing riding because I was always in a motocross, you know, Baja, you know, these type of motorcycles. But it's fun. It's like drumming. It's like playing Latin and playing jazz. And I mean, there are similarities, but also different mentality, and this one I want to explore even more. Now I want to get another one to do some flat track, which is kind of like NASCAR, but not like NASCAR. It's a lot of drifting, but you go round and round, you know. So it's a very technical style, and I think will help me a lot in other styles as well. So I want to get involved with these as well.
One of the craziest videos I've ever seen of you is when you posted that one. When you did ride through the streets of on your bike, when you had the GoPro on your helmet, it was like, in between cars, yeah, actually, super fast.
Believe it or not, everybody rides like this in Athens. And this is why I don't ride in the streets anymore, because, I don't know, I think just, you know, drivers in general, they're like getting a little bit out of control. And it's not safe anymore for me.
No, I mean, we have that problem in the States, too. People don't look out for motorcycle riders.
Yeah. But I think it's getting a little bit more out of control now because, you know, the situation in Greece and everybody has more problems. So they go behind the wheel and just go.
Yeah.
And, it's a little bit weird. So I always support them. I go to the track. I'm going to riding school. This is where the family is. Everybody rides safe. And we got actually the best instructors in Greece. So, yeah, it's way more fun and way more safe.
Yeah, word. That sounds great. That makes sense. Plus, you got a daughter, you know?
Yeah, of course. So, well, she's about to start riding soon anyways.
So. Well,
it's
you
a
know,
must.
When you were talking about the different kind of the changes in techniques with the riding and stuff, it was kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier on with your two drum kits. And you were talking, you said something about the beginning, how your technique has already started changing or morphing a little bit in the last month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The reality is I did a lot of different styles on my main set, on the big set, which is not really working, to be honest. You know, the setup, the ride cymbal, where the ride cymbal is, you know, so it's not really working. So I always wanted the second kit. And in the old studio I was renting another room for a few months, but it was getting way too expensive to have it all the time because I was touring, and when I was touring, I was paying two rooms, and I wasn't there, so it didn't make sense. And, man, it's something you have to do. You have to do. If you really want to get into practice, you need a small drum set. Less drums, less cymbals, more ideas, different ideas. I think that's how it works.
Definitely. especially, you know, it forces you to try different fills, maybe some linear drumming.
Now it's also about the sound as well. It's not only about, okay, I have a five piece or a six piece. I used to have a four piece. Now I have it set up as a 10, 12, 14, 16 floors. So it's like a six piece. And I got one ride, two crashes, hi-hat, one splash, and one the XSR fast stacks, which is my favorite stacks ever. So there's a few different sounds in there. I can play a little bit more fusion. And this is, like I said, the reference pure. This is the kit. Usually it sits around waiting for clinics here in Athens or festivals.
Okay.
But I got a third kit, which is a 20 by 18. So I'm using the 20. I'm not using the 22 by 18. And now I just ordered the 16 by 14 mid-down kick.
Really?
From Pearl, yeah.
Huh.
So let's say if you want to play a little bit more jazzy, then you take the 12-inch floor tom out, you take the 16 floor out, you put the 16-inch kick drum, and maybe change the cymbals from HHX Evolution I have right now, and some regular HHX to the Artisan and the Legacies. So the whole thing gets closer to jazz. So not only the setup, but also it's also about the sound nowadays. So
yeah,
getting really, really inspired, you know, to get the actual sound I'm looking for, you know, like coated heads and old stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
More of a washiness in the cymbals.
Yes, and very open drum sound.
Yeah.
I think the tuning I'm going for nowadays for the small kit is kind of like the Buddy Rich area, the Buddy Rich era, these open drums,
yeah.
You know, sound like, especially the kick drum, and I love this kick drum. I mean, if you were asking me like 20 years ago, I would be like, oh man, I hate this.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but for what it does, and I spend a lot of time listening to Buddy Rich these days. A lot of time.
Hmm.
Man, what a great drummer.
Yeah, absolutely, he is.
Like, seriously, the best. Nobody can beat him. If you try to play some of his up-tempo swing stuff, they're impossible.
Yeah. Oh.
Impossible. Impossible to think that musical. So it's not only about, you know, keeping time and, you know, keep it so clean and so fast. But, man, all these accents and, you know, the phrases, they're so fast. They're happening so fast. And you're like, how the hell he just thought about these? And, of course, he was leading one of the best bands ever. He was the band.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing new world for me to discovering his music. Not only, you know, the drum side, which, yeah, of course, everybody knows Buddy Rich. And, of course, I always thought he was great. But, you know, as a musician, oh, my God, man, I'm in love. This is my new thing, you know, listening to Buddy Rich and really try to explore the music way better.
That's really cool to hear. That's what's inspiring you these days. I mean, you know, kids, they hear about them, but maybe they don't, you know, really dig into the music too much or dig down into the music and hear what's really going on. It's very impressive.
Yeah. It's a sad thing that people will say, oh, yeah, this guy is the best, you know, and they don't know why.
Right.
It's really sad. Or, you know, they will say, I don't want to name any drummer, you know, but I had this conversation actually a few hours ago that they say, nobody can groove like this guy. And, you know, of course, that's what he did. But, you know, can you groove like him? Yes, I can. I mean, it's not that difficult. You know, every professional drummer can groove like him. For example, it just happened that this guy plays for this band and he does this. So, you know, he perfected this and he sounds great. Or some other well-known bands, like legendary bands, and they have a drummer who's not at the top level. Although this guy gets to the 100th, number three, to the 100 best drummers ever, you know. So I think sometimes the band makes you who you are, and people will always remember you as a, you know, member of the band. But the other drummers who are the band or who, you know, they have their own brand. Let me give two examples. Like I said, Buddy Rich. Buddy Rich was a complete musician, one of the best. He was the band leader, and his musicianship is out of control. You got to get into the music. You got to really listen to him, and you will be blown away. And then guys like Thomas Lang, you know, Thomas Lang, he doesn't play for like a super well-known band right now, but this guy is more well-known, you know, than most of the bands. He's a brand by himself.
He's
who he is. And what he did is so unique and inspiring. And people will always remember him. Always remember him. Although he wasn't playing for this ex-rock band, for example. And, you know, he didn't, you know, his name is not on the one of the most, you know what I'm saying?
Like
the most well-known rock songs or metal songs, whatever. But what he does is special. He is who he is, and people will never forget. He's one of the best, for sure. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you need to explore and listen to the music and realize why some people are who they are, and people talking about them, or you know, some other people get negative, approach. Take a listen, you know, give them a chance, and figure out yourself.
Yeah, I think it also kind of translates into, if you're writing music in a band, it's like, really listen to what the guitars are doing when you're writing a drum beat. Like, it doesn't have to, you don't have to put in a generic blast beat just because it's a death metal song, you know?
Yeah.
And listen to where the accents on the guitar. I mean, I learned that from you a long time ago, you know, accenting cymbals and crashes and chinas.
Yeah, of course.
Adding
of
dynamics to the riff. And,
this is one thing.
Yeah.
And then I see some drummers doing drum clinics, and they get some simple songs that they overplay crazy. Like, they go out of control. And people are like, you know, making comments like, I don't like this, this is overplaying. Dude, this is a drum clinic. It's a drum festival. Like, what are you expecting? What are you expecting, seriously? Like, the drummer go up there, play like a 4-4 beat, and you know, then, you know, you're blown away. Like, seriously. So You gotta know, you know, some of these cats, you know, they're really professional drummers and know what they do. When they play in a pop album, they will deliver that 4-4 beat with no fills, no crashes, and it will groove from the first second to the fourth minute, or, you know, however long the song is. But when they do a drum festival and they need to overplay, they have to overplay. Sometimes they even have to overdo themselves, you know, without drummers jamming, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, You gotta think a little bit, you know, not get sucked, you know, with these comments sometimes. Like, oh, yeah, I hate this because of that. And people are like, oh, yeah, you're right, you know. No. Think yourself.
Some clinics are like that. They're like a giant solo or a show-off session. But yours, you know, you spend a lot of time sharing information, too. It's not just you playing for like an hour. And you usually play some different styles. What have you been doing lately on your clinics? Like, what kind of information have people been? Of course, they always want to see you play fast and play some Nile stuff, but you take some time and maybe teach a little bit of your foot technique or your hand technique. You still kind of doing the same thing?
About the best thing I learned from a friend of mine, which actually I have the joy to play with him next week in Czech Republic on a drum fest. His name is Scott Pellegrim. He's one amazing drummer, which I met in Australia during the Australian Ultimate Drummers Weekend. He said, I was like, dude, he's so musical. He's kind of like, he will play anything. Like, you know, give him like a pair of sticks and he will make music. You know, he's an insane drummer. And he was like, no, I don't prepare anything. I just go out there and whatever feels comfortable, you know, all the solos and, you know, whatever, you know, they're not prepared. And I started doing the same thing. So when I go out there, maybe I play more, maybe I'll teach more. It depends on the mood and the sound and, you know, the response from the crowd. Maybe I'll do some solos or maybe play some extreme stuff and keep on playing like 4 songs in a row or even teach only, you know, it depends. So I think it all depends on the crowd, what they really want. And I can see that on the first 10 minutes or so, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I go with the flow. That's the right word.
Well, it's keeping you busy, that's for sure. Which is good.
It's fun, man.
Awesome.
It's fun. A lot of fun.
I mean, and you know, you and I are the same age, roughly, and we both grew up without, you know, YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a nice resource for kids to have these days for, you know, any instrument. But I know you've had a long relationship with your instructor over the years. And, you know, when you were kind of developing the foot technique that you that you play now and developing that balance and that swing, having to learn that kind of without YouTube or just going by feel, what was that process like? How long did that take?
Oh, it sucked. I think what took me 10 years to learn and discover, pretty much, because I didn't have any drum friends back in from 1990 to 2000 when I started doing getting some private lessons from Yannis Avropoulos. And then I had some drum friends in my old hometown, in my hometown. But there were, in the beginning, man, it was awful. There was nobody to share anything, so I had to work by ear. And I think everything will work eventually, you know. So if you want to do something, you will do it. Nothing will stop you. The main thing is, like, if it was today with YouTube, I would get this information, let's say, in 1 year, and normally it would take 1 year, but it took me 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. But the more you play, the more miles, you know, you write down. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It depends. It's way more easier for the new generation, that's for sure. But it's new drummers now facing a lot of more competition. So everybody's more competitive.
Definitely.
So yeah, it's easier, but it's also harder in some areas.
Pluses and minuses on positives and negatives on both sides of that, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
But I've seen videos of Yannis, and he's unreal. He's a great drummer.
Yeah, he's just great, and he's a great musician. That's the main thing with Yannis. Like, he plays piano, guitar. He pretty much composes music. So his approach in drumming is not like some drummers only. He's like I said, he's a complete musician, and you can tell the difference. You can hear the difference, like, instantly.
That's killer.
Yeah.
On that jazz kit or that smaller kit, are you still playing the same pedals? Or are you kick pedal? Or are you playing something with a little bit more, you know, different beat or something? Because you talked about the openness of the kick drum and the sound.
Well, I use my signature pedals everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Right now, especially right now, I got the new Pearl Eliminator, the Red Line.
Okay.
So it's a double pedal, and I didn't want to put a double pedal there anyways, but I have very few private students, and they can't really play my settings with my Axis pedal, so I have to use this pedal. It's a great pedal. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're using that for now.
I see.
Very easy to play, and, man, super fast. I was blown away, actually.
Yeah, I was too when they came out with the Demon Drive. That kind of flowed a little bit better than I remember their previous
one. Yeah, man, Pearl, they make, like, really great stuff. Like, everything from hardware and, you know, to shells, of course.
Oh, their hardware definitely kicks ass, and their shells are top-notch. Yeah, they make a great product. Yeah. That is for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But if you check this Eliminator, the Red Line, it's called, you know, with some red spots and new... the Ninja bearings, they have some, they borrow some stuff from the Demo Drive, which is, of course, you know, like a, you know, high-end pedal. I think you're going to be very surprised. And very affordable as well. So it was it's an amazing product.
That's killer. Well, I'm going to have to get back online with you and check out your annual program again, because your lessons were always so thorough and good. And
thanks, man.
Oh, yeah, man. So, you know, I want to be conscious of your time. We're coming up on about an hour. I just wanted to make sure, you know, anything, what's coming? What's next? I know you said you have some clinics coming up. Is when do you think you'll be out in the States again?
Well, what's coming? Many clinics to the end of the year, and a lot of work with the new Nile songs. I mean, the clinics are not, I don't have to prepare anything. I just go out there, you know, do my thing, enjoy it, and, you know, talk some drums, play some drums. So it's like it's a really fun thing for me to do. But when I'm home, I'm focusing a lot on the new songs.
Yeah.
Which, especially for the next 2 months, I'm going to be like 110% of the songs. And, you know, try to get as prepared as possible, play the songs every single day. I want to get really, really deep in the songs this time. So when I go in the studio, I'm I have a better picture of what I'm going to play, you know?
Sure.
So that's the main thing right now. And there are some tours coming out for next year. I can't really say.
No, I understand.
Because they're not confirmed. Yeah, I mean, I can't say the package, but there is one for Europe close to February, as far as I know. And one of the states for sure in April, which is going to be a very nice surprise for some of our fans. But awesome. I can't really say more.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
And then, of course, maybe record the album like close to summer or maybe after summer. We'll see, depending on that, how much work we have done so far. And, you know, these tours, I know, will push us back a little bit, but, you know, it's... was two things we couldn't really say no. So, yeah, we'll see.
Oh, man. Well, it's good to have... It's good to be booked that far out. And it sounds like there's going to be a lot of killer stuff coming, man. So, excited to see the new studio, the new pictures, new videos.
Yeah, videos. A lot of videos. I want to focus on videos. I just... I want people to see, like I said, see me playing different things, different styles. I'm working on a... Buddy Rich song right now.
Are you?
that's one thing. And I also have, I'm hooking up with a guitar player here to play some fusion stuff. And cool. Maybe with the help of Asteros Papasamatakis, which is a great keyboard player. And he was the guy who wrote the Burnout song we did with this funk project.
Uh-huh.
So there's going to be a lot of these collaborations, you know, or maybe projects. We'll see. But like I said many times, the main thing will always be Nile. I really want to do this extra thing this time, you know, like raise the bar. So that's what I'm shooting for. And everything else, like I said, you will see a lot of videos, which we have fun, you know, playing with these guys.
Well, we know you'll do it. That's awesome. I'm excited to hopefully see you in April. In the States.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely, yeah.
But, hey, I really appreciate it, all your time, George, especially this hour.
Thank you, man.
Really good to talk with you. Looking forward to speaking again. And, hey, best of luck and safety traveling and enjoying those clinics. And enjoying your new studio.
These days. Yeah, thank you, man. Thanks so much. I'm going to be a little bit more home these days. So, yeah, we'll catch up talking a little bit more soon. But yeah, thanks for the opportunity to you know, go a little bit in subs I don't really usually go, and hopefully some people will find it interesting. So there you go.
Hey, well, it's always fun talking with you, especially about drums and what you have going on. You're always raising the bar, whatever it is, drumming, motorcycle racing, studio, video. It's a lot of work, so
thanks so much.
We do appreciate it. And, man, it, like I said, if I get some questions sent to me, I'll compile them. Maybe I could talk you into coming back on sometime.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm totally fine.
Have fun writing. I know you love it.
Thanks so much.
And, hey, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming on, George.
Thank you. Thanks so much. All right. Appreciate it.
Cheers.